Bolster your immune system. Help alleviate stress. Take in those minerals and vitamins that you really need. Nutrients like vitamin B, omega fatty acids 3, 6, and 9, and many more nutrients. More Beauty now offers hemp seed oil. We all know that health is wealth. We must do all we can to maintain it. More Beauty offers 100% hemp seed oil, a natural option. Hemp seed oil, available from More Beauty. Order yours today from theembassyofthemoors.org. Theembassyofthemoors.org. These beings have spheres in the heavenly realms. The powers were given names from the glory above, but these names could destroy the powers. For a while, the names given them by their creator were powerful. The names given them from the glory above could bring about their destruction and loss of power. That is why they have two names. Yad-O-Boath organized everything after the pattern of the first eternal realms that had come into being, for he wished to create things that are like the imperishable ones. Not that he had seen the imperishable ones, rather the power that is in him that he had taken from his mother produced the pattern for the world order. When he saw creation all around and the throng of angels around him had come forth from him, he had said to them, "I am a jealous God, and there is no other God besides me." But by making this announcement, he suggested to the angels with him that there is another God. For if there were no other God, of whom would he be jealous? Then the mother began to move around. She realized that she was lacking something when the brightness of her light diminished. She grew dim because her lover had not collaborated with her. I said, "Lord, what does it mean that she moved around?" The Lord laughed. "Do not suppose that it happened the way Moses said above the waters. No, when she recognized the wickedness that had taken place and the robbery of her son had committed, she repented. Though she had become forgetful in the darkness of her ignorance, she began to be ashamed and agitated. This agitation is the moving around. The arrogant one took over from his mother. He was ignorant and he thought that no other power existed except his mother. He saw the throng of angels he had created and exalted himself over them. The mother realized that this dark shadow had come into being imperfectly. When the mother realized that this dark shadow had come into being imperfectly, she understood that her lover had not collaborated with her. She repented with many tears. The whole realm of fullness of the invisible virgin spirit heard her prayer of repentance and offered praise for her. And the Holy Spirit poured some of this fullness upon her, for her lover had not come to her before. But now he did come to her down through the realm of fullness so that he might restore what she lacked. She was taken up not to her own eternal realm, but instead to a position just above her son. She was to remain in this ninth heaven until she restored what was lacking in her. Humanity exists and the child of humanity. The first ruler, Yad-O-Boath, heard the voice and thought it had come from his mother. He did not realize the source. It was from the Holy Parent, the completely perfect forethought, the image of the invisible one, that is the father of everything, through whom everything came into being, the first humanity. She taught these things and revealed herself in human shape. The entire realm of the first quaked, and the foundations of hell shook. The bottom side of the waters above the material world was lit up by the image that had appeared. All the authorities and the first ruler stared at this appearance. They saw the whole bottom side, and it was lit up. And through the light, they saw the shape of an image in the water. Yad-O-Boath, the authorities with him, "Come, let us create a human being after the image of God and with a likeness to ourselves, so that this human image may give us light." They created with their powers and copied the features that had appeared. Each of the authorities contributed a physical feature corresponding to the figure of the image they had seen. They created a being like the perfect first humanity and said, "Let us call it Adam, and his name may give us power of light." The powers began to create. As this is a learning process that I have endeavored in. And I want to be sure, that I'm standing in a proper place to relay the information, to convey this information that is so vital. It is so vital. It is crucial, especially at this point in time. And I'm not going to get into very much into people that sell packages, paperwork packages in that. However, there is paperwork to be filed, as I best understand it, notify and signify your particular status change or what is known as status correction, correction of status. That being transferring from a subservient position to a position of oneness as a human being, as again, a sovereign. Now, whether or not I'm using one of those catchwords, I don't know. I haven't been necessarily notified of such yet. That's possibly why people are afraid to talk to me right now. I don't know if I'm necessarily losing friends, but there are people that don't really communicate with me anymore, as I've managed to make certain, let people know, to make certain disclosures and let people know about this walk into, I guess, this other realm of existence in my life. You know, what is really somewhat frustrating is knowing that you walked down a certain path, and that path, not to say that it wasn't the right one, but it wasn't the path to achieving overall freedom. I mean, you're physically free, but you're still mentally enslaved. And I cannot understand, I can't fathom any understanding as to why people will remain in this particular state. Part of me is because it involves work. There's work involved with accepting or wanting to change a particular status category, right? But when it involves certain behaviors, though, that's easier to do, it seems. I mean, if it's a recreational activity or it appeals to something carnal, something that is not considered divine, then that's easier to affiliate yourself with. Those ideologies therein are easier to accept. Because you see, once you make certain declarations that amount to your empowerment or liberation or freedom, or you start using that very language that has to do with your own nationality, or even use the word nationalism in certain conversations, you're viewed a certain way. When the fact is, you're already viewed as someone that's in a disadvantaged position, that's viewed in a position that's not an enlightened one, that's not illuminated, hence the name Black, void of any light. I think the last time I may have openly, well, I'm not going to include paperwork that I filled out, but when I openly declared it, it was somewhere around 20 years ago, you know, with a group of people, when there was, I won't say statistical research, but it was in a classroom setting, and they're asking, the question they asked was what do you consider yourself? And at the time, I said I was a number one soul brother, Black. At that time, I was in my 20s, my mid to late 20s, and I did not have any realization of what that meant then. I had no idea that I was placing myself at a further disadvantage, but I was placing an entity at an advantage by saying I was from a non-descendable category, a caste, a color that was void of enlightenment or void of light. What it took for me was amassing life experiences, along with seeing what was going on around me, along with realizing that such labeling is something of a tag. That tag is embedded in the psyche, of people relative to your existence. Then they think of you in a certain way. That's why we have these situations that crop up in a county not far from me right now is a high school. And at that high school, there's a group of students that participated in a slave auction. It's making the local news circuit right now, and I'm sure it's national. But apparently there was some type of mock slave auction that was held among the student body, and it emerged on social media. Someone saw it, and now they're having a series of school board meetings about it. Apparently, they're seeking to get to the bottom of it. As if we as Black people have some kind of standing that's worthy of any recourse. And there won't be any recourse from it. These problems will continue on and on and on until we establish ourselves as a group beyond just the color of skin, as part of the human race. That's real. You know, I make no apologies here as far as my standing and position and viewpoint on things, as it's obvious to me that there has been a breakdown in humanity, a breakdown with humanity. And what is enabling this breakdown, allowing for it to be perpetual, allowing it for it to be continual and exist, is those of us who are remaining in denial, who are in a delusion, an illusion of inclusion. We believe that we are included in a system that is largely a de facto one, one that does not really exist, or that which exists as something colorable. Paying too much, still tied up in this matrix, but I don't despair, because there is remedy. And I believe I might even get to that, what that remedy, well, actually I might have touched on it, but I'm definitely going to start being more vocal on what I understand is a remedy. Some would say that we need to get back to a theocratic form of government. We need to return to a republic. I'm not saying Republican Party. I'm saying we need to return to a previous form of existence. I'm ashamed to say what my previous career walk was anymore, because of everything, all that's gone on before and since. It kind of comes as there's a source of shame associated with it for me, because, you know, of what I was willing to accept, I guess. Not that I was blind to it. I was blind to it being at face value what it was. Not that I didn't fully recognize what it was. I just thought, you know, I was under the delusion. But you have that, and you have the instance down by Austin, the next sheriff's detective with Travis County, who happens to be melanated or Asiatic, that decides he wants to kill a few people. And, oh, by the way, update, he was taken into custody, I think, police sometime yesterday, just a few hours after that happened. But I'm not going to even bother asking the question, you know, what the hell is going on with that guy? It was isolated as a domestic incident. So, you know, as a result of that, must have been a lot more going on than meets the eye, which is the situation in most cases. But this guy was a former Travis County Sheriff's detective that actually had, I believe he was either out on bail or he was still in the process of being going through the court process or court case for underage, I forgot what the charge was, but it had to do with some impropriety with a kid. I'll leave it at that. So therein lies, obviously now I'm in open conversation, but you know, I'm using some of the attributes that I can glean from that, from my experience in that career, to serve as an asset for people. in conversations and stuff like that. I'm not necessarily giving away secrets, because there really aren't any secrets to the job. I mean, there's some certain things that you tend to allow to be discreet, right? You want to keep things, you know, not necessarily out in the open, but, you know, nowadays with this information age, you can find out what it's like to even do the job anymore. So there's certain things that, you know, need to come out, you know, and I'm here to lend perspective into that aspect of my life, you know, where, not that I necessarily feel it was a waste either. I mean, it depends on how I view it. If I view it from a spiritual standpoint, I was there for a reason, right? I'm never going to really know who I positively impacted. Well, there have been situations where I have been aware of that, made aware of that anyway. There's a t-shirt that I have available called Moorish American National, MAN. So if you would like, I'd appreciate it if you would, you know, find your way over there through Linktree and see what it is I got that I can offer. Tomorrow, I will be participating in basically it's a bi-weekly study group that I participate in that is actually hosted by a group called the Embassy of the Moors, theembassyofthemoors.org, theembassyofthemoors.org. It's a Wednesday night live stream, and we'll be participating in a discussion. The topic will have to do with trauma. Let me see if I could pull up the actual title to it. I probably won't be able to, so that means I have to open up Facebook. Hold on one second. But it has to do with trauma and dealing with it, coping with it, different coping mechanisms and such. So it's going to be a panel of us, roughly four, maybe five or more people discussing about issues relevant to trauma and how to ways of dealing with trauma, if you have experienced it or not, etc. We all do know that, you know, there is some pride associated with not letting out the fact that we experience trauma. We are just speaking generally, that we are a proud people that doesn't necessarily want to admit, declare, or otherwise, disclose that they have experienced trauma in their lives or are going through trauma right now to some extent, some degree, some measure. And I don't know if I have as much in terms of views on trauma. Just being born is a traumatic experience in and of itself. The physical, what you experience physically. Not me, of course, but what women experience throughout that process and realizing how vulnerable and prone you are to, health complications. You know, I hadn't really, you know, realized it. But, you know, we come through and from a traumatic experience individually when we're born in a physical sense. And then when we think about that institution of slavery, of course, there is, and again, that takes us back to what I was talking about, right? Fallen humanity. You know, that we are involved or were involved in that institution in some way, shape, or form. There's some residual trauma from that is embedded within our DNA. I mean, I'm not saying all of us are descendants of slaves. I've actually fallen back from that notion of being associated with that concept of reparations. But just we through patterning and through a word I'm going to repeat again called construct, established construct, we've been subjected to a pattern of trauma, and it's been documented, fairly well documented. But in terms of today, there's, I mean, without really looking it up, I mean, I just noticed from back during the Reagan era, the closure of mental health facilities, state hospitals, things like that. Then you have, you know, those people have nowhere to go. The ones that are experiencing mental health issues that have either been undiagnosed or their treatment isn't working.
Okay, so there you have it. That was my talk about fallen humanity. Not necessarily so much about the causal effects of it, but the origins in which that fallen humanity has been noticed, discovered, and not so much today about remedy, but we have to first acknowledge that we are fallen, that we have fallen in order to rise up again.